What exactly did happen off the California coast Monday? Last week's watershed election may speed next-gen ATC. And Rolls-Royce tries to reassure customers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. The U.S. military may be having an awkward time with the growing ability of private citizens to observe what used to be secret operations. On Monday evening, about 35 miles off the California coast west of L.A. and north of Catalina Island, a CBS TV News helicopter crew was in the right place at the right time to catch video of what looked like the launch of something big. The FAA claims its radar picked up no unidentified fast-moving targets in the area at the time. There were no PIREPs, and no commercial space launches were authorized in the area. The notion that there was an ICBM test launch from a submarine has been denied by the U.S. Navy. The FAA referred reporters to NORAD, which issued to Space.com the conflicting statements that, quote, "We are working to determine the exact nature of this event," unquote, and, quote, "We can confirm that there is no threat to our nation," unquote. It's not clear how NORAD can both not know what it was, yet confirm we were in no danger. One of the more plausible explanations came from former Deputy Secretary of Defense Robert Ellsworth, who speculated to CBS it might have been an ICBM launched from a sub as a show of force while President Obama is touring Asia. A number of internet sources suggest the Navy may have fired a missile by mistake, and the cover-up is already underway. There are also those who say the scene could be a plain old jet contrail, distorted in an optical illusion of a sort that can happen around sunset. If this was an actual launch, the reaction has to be alarming to the Pentagon. First, the Air Force's secret X-37B is tracked throughout its mission by amateurs with telescopes, sharing sightings on the internet. Now, video of an unannounced missile launch winds up on the nightly news and YouTube. It's getting pretty hard to keep secrets out there. The logjam on FAA reauthorization may have been broken by changes on Election Day. Representative John Mica of Florida is a Republican who's now likely to chair the House Transportation Committee in January. Mica says his top priority will be an FAA reauthorization bill that does not include changes in union organization rules for FedEx Express. Both chambers of commerce passed bills last year, but the measures could not be reconciled between the two bodies. One of the sticking points was a provision in the bill championed by House Committee Chair James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat, which would have made it easier for employees of FedEx Express to unionize. The two Republican senators from Tennessee, where FedEx is based, had vowed to keep the provision out of the final version of the bill. Oberstar lost his bid for re-election last week. Mica tells the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Mr. Oberstar's gone and that issue is gone," unquote. Mica says the only remaining major difference deals with the number of long-distance flights at Ronald Reagan National Airport, and he says he thinks those concerns can be dealt with easily. FAA reauthorization would also provide funding for NextGen. Rolls-Royce stated Monday it has made progress in understanding the cause of the failure of a Trent 900 on a Qantas A380 November 4th. The company says it's now clear the incident is specific to the Trent 900 engine. Quote, "As a result, a series of checks and inspections have been agreed with Airbus, the operators of the Trent 900-powered A380, and with the airworthiness authorities. These are being progressively completed, which is allowing a resumption of operation of aircraft in full compliance with all safety standards. We are working in close cooperation with Airbus, our customers, and the authorities. And as always, safety remains our highest priority," unquote. Rolls says it will provide its next update tomorrow. Up next on ANN, Gulfstream International Airlines enters Chapter 11. U.S. Airways says it needs 500 more crew members next year. And if January's LSA show is any indication, things are looking up. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet. Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. Gulfstream International Airlines, a regional carrier that operates flights from Fort Lauderdale to destinations in Florida, the Bahamas, and Cleveland, Ohio, has filed for reorganization under Chapter 11. Gulfstream executives say that all flight operations are continuing on a normal schedule. The airline operates a fleet of 23 Beechcraft 1900Ds. Gulfstream said the filing is intended to allow the company to restructure its debt to attract long-term financing. The Wall Street Journal reports the company has had to borrow heavily over the last several years to cope with rising fuel costs and a sagging economy. Gulfstream CEO David Hackett said the airline has made strong year-over-year improvements, but economic factors have made it impossible to continue servicing the debt it has accumulated. No layoffs have been announced, and Hackett said one of the goals of the restructuring is to, quote, ensure a great future for our employees, unquote. U.S. Airways said Monday it will need 500 more crew members next year, primarily in anticipation of planned retirements and attrition. The airline says it will both recall employees currently on furlough and hire new crew members, and most of it will happen by July. U.S. Airways President Scott Kirby explains, quote, our crew member hiring needs are being driven primarily by planned retirements and attrition, as well as international growth. Today's announcement is consistent with our previously announced plan to keep our domestic capacity flat in 2011 while growing international capacity by 8%, unquote. The projected need includes 420 flight attendants and 80 pilots. After the planned recall, U.S. Airways will have no flight attendants on furlough and may have up to 100 pilots remaining on furlough. When the process is complete, the airline will employ about 4,970 active pilots and 7,300 active flight attendants. To the extent the annual U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida can be viewed as an economic indicator, things may be looking up based on advanced numbers for the January 2011 show. Chairman Bob Wood notes, quote, we actually have a waiting list for inside exhibit spaces and have very few outside spaces remaining. The staff mailed out contracts about 2 weeks back, and we are now starting to receive signed documents with payments. We will have a few cancellations, as that is normal. However, any business not now with a contract should contact us without delay. Unquote. In another sign of growth, the FAA will establish a control tower for the 2011 event that runs January 20th through 23rd. The tower will be in operation from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time each day, with powered parachute operations allowed when the tower is closed. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Office of the Inspector General has found that as many as one-third of flights to and from the New York region's three primary airports were canceled or delayed in 2009. As bad as that sounds, it's an improvement over the 40% delay or cancellation rate it found in 2007. The report's top three reasons for the delays come as no surprise: crowded airspace and high volume, airport capacity restraints, and continued growth allowed in part by the phase-out of caps between 2000 and 2007. Recommendations to the FAA include revisiting caps based on realistic operating conditions and carrier practices for Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark, establishing a working group of stakeholders to better understand the propagation of delays in the region to the rest of the country, and development of methodology to measure the propagation of delays. The FAA is not completely on board with a report and has been asked to provide a written response within 30 days. Still ahead, the man who led the design team for Apollo's Eagle has gone west. 30 people connected with a Massachusetts flight school are arrested. And some of the theories on the mystery missile are pretty out there. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 10th. I'm Paul Plack. The man who led the team that designed the LEM, or Lunar Excursion Module, for the Apollo moon missions passed away Saturday in Amherst, Massachusetts. Joseph G. Gavin Jr. was 90. Gavin was an MIT-trained engineer at Grumman who managed the 7,500-member team that designed and built the Eagle, the LEM which landed Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon. The design goal was a spacecraft weighing no more than 32,000 pounds, which would carry two astronauts and a two-stage rocket. It worked successfully in all five moon landings and served as a lifeboat for the Apollo 13 mission after an oxygen tank exploded on board the command module. Gavin was later named as president and CEO of Grumman Corporation's executive committee. He retired from the company in 1985, but continued as an advisor to the federal government on space matters and other policy. If you're a CFI or have spent the last few years dealing with all the DHS hassles imposed on flight instruction, you'll appreciate this one. A flight school in Stowe, Massachusetts has reportedly been training illegal immigrants to fly, and now its owner is also facing charges of being in the U.S. illegally. The Associated Press reports more than 30 people connected with TJ Aviation Flight Academy at Minuteman Airfield have been arrested, all of them Brazilians. TSA tells the Boston Globe the incident is being investigated. The owner of the school has reportedly claimed that he is not in the country illegally. WHDH-TV in Boston reports an attorney for some of the students claims they were duped by the school. TSA said the incident will prompt a review of its process. Those arrested could face deportation. And finally today, among all the speculation underway about Monday's mystery missile off the California coast, there are a couple of tongue-in-cheek gems on the list by NewYorkMag.com. Two examples from its list of eight possible explanations are these. The missile launch system became self-aware, and this is the beginning of the machine takeover. All of our computers are about to turn on us, attacking us with weapons, shutting off traffic lights, and making debilitating changes to our fantasy football lineups. And this one's my favorite. A dejected Meg Whitman decided to leave Earth behind after spending $141 million of her fortune on a losing gubernatorial run and set off to live out the rest of her days hurtling through space aboard her personal spacecraft alone. That one, of course, is preposterous. If Meg was that upset, she has enough money to send Jerry Brown into space. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell talks with Andy Baird of Cameron Balloons about the business of recreating various advertising mascots and other special shapes in the form of real flying hot air balloons. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.